live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road. KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2023. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. In studio are candidates Peter Michicki, Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, David Carey, and Zachary Hamilton. You'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Dwayne Bannock.
Good evening and welcome to KSRM's Mayoral Forum. Tonight, as you heard Mr. King say, featuring the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor in the special Borough Mayor election that will take place next Tuesday, February 14th, 2 weeks away from today. Joining with us, you've heard that we will hear from in just moments, Mr. Carey, Ms. Farnsworth Hutchings, Mr. Hamilton, Mr. Michicki, and we do have another candidate that has been invited to this forum. He is a official write-in candidate for the office, Mr. Robert Wall. He is unavailable to join with us tonight. KSRM has extended an invitation to him for a brief introduction and statement. We will play that. It was pre-recorded earlier today. We will play that one time during our visit with you today. Thanks so much for tuning in with us. We have a studio audience with us today, and thanks to those of you that participated by sending the news department questions. We'll try to get to those tonight. The candidates in front of us have seen the subjects that we're going to deal with tonight. We'll do our very best to stick to those particular subjects, and we welcome you, our radio audience, both those of you listening on the powerful AM radio band and those of you that are joining us on the fancy dancy world wide web of radiokenai.com. Anybody not ready to go? Let's hit it. Good evening, Mr. David Carey. Welcome. And if you would give us a 90 second opening statement, please.
Good evening. My name is David Carey, and I wish to thank KSRM and the associated stations for hosting this event. I thank Dwayne Bannock for facilitating the program, and I thank each person listening now or who will listen to this program over the next few days. The direction and vision for the people of this borough rests in your hand, and if you will vote, I have four propositions I hope to get to cover. There is nothing more important in our civic republic than an election. Do we believe the people hold sovereign power in this borough, or is it the government, all-powerful? Do we believe government is limited and must conform to the laws of nature and of nature's God, as stated in the Declaration of Independence? Or do you believe we must obey whatever the politicians order the people to do? Do we believe the people must give consent regarding how much money the government takes out of our pockets? That is what the election is all about. How many roundabouts do you want the government to impose on you? How many four-lane divided paved freeways do you want crossing our rivers, mountains, and natural trails? How much money do you want to spend every second keeping them lit and warm? I am running for this office because I want to lessen the distrust many feel for government. The great mistakes regarding the COVID pandemic and the restrictions of the people's rights and access to medication. The politicians in Juneau never believe they have enough money.
Thank you. Next, Ms. Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. Good evening. Your opening statement, please.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good evening, and thank you for having me here tonight. My name is Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, and I'm running to represent you as the new Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. My family was one of a small number of families that homesteaded in the Soldotna area in the 1940s. We commercial fished in the summer, provided fuel oil and propane year-round to residents and businesses from our shop in Kenai. When David and I returned from his military tour, we raised our two children and four grandchildren on the Kenai Peninsula. David and I opened Hutchings Sales and Service, the first of our successful car and truck dealerships on the Kenai Peninsula. Today, we own and operate Hutchings Auto Group. We've employed approximately 2,200 Peninsula residents, which equals millions of dollars in payroll into the Central Peninsula. Over 40 years of local and state government experience, I am honored to serve as a city council member and have formerly served on numerous boards and local civic organizations. In listening to my neighbors, your priorities are growing the economy, educational excellence for every student with emphasis on career and technical, affordable health care, superior road maintenance, and strong public safety. As your new Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor, I will accomplish these priorities through ethical leadership, promoting responsible spending, and pursuit of the absolute best service.
Thank you, Ms. Farnsworth-Hutchings. Next, hello, Zach Hamilton, and welcome. Your opening statement, please.
Thank you. I'm Zachary Hamilton, and I'm running to become your borough mayor in 2023. You'll see my name on the ballot at the upcoming special election on February 14th. I'm honored to be considered a candidate alongside Peter, Dave, Linda, and now Robert as well. I respect them and appreciate their individual accomplishments. It's important that you know who I am and why I decided to run to be your next mayor. First, I'm a husband and a dad. Leading my family is what keeps me sharp and qualifies me to lead elsewhere. In 2020, during the pandemic, we hit the reset button and we made a strategic decision to relocate to Alaska, specifically the Kenai. We knew we had a set of grandparents here for our kids, and Kenai and I already co-owned a restaurant here. I had been working as an internal consultant for a faith-based organization in Michigan, developing my expertise as an administrator and transition management specialist. Moving to the Kenai meant that I finally returned to my roots here in Alaska after spending significant parts of my childhood here. Alaska was my home then, as it is now. I am a public servant and an organizational leader with impeccable ethics. I aim to lead at the highest level and to be a model citizen for borough employees and residents as we accomplish the greatest and most good together. I suppose after hearing myself say, someone ought to do something about such and such enough times, I finally realized my name is somebody.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Next, remotely, let's hear from Mr. Peter Machicki. Good evening, Mr. Machicki. Your opening statement, please.
Good evening. Thank you so much to not only KSRM and the affiliate stations, but the candidates for putting their names out there and being willing to run for office, as well as those listeners out there that are so focused on this election. This is an imperative election on moving this borough forward. And the way that I like to look at it is, this is you're interviewing the person that will be your CEO for a $175 million a year organization. My experience has been on three continents and four states, some very large budgets, operating some very large work groups in the private sector where you have to actually arrive at a positive in the black every year. And I've managed private sector responsibilities the same way I've managed public sector. I see your tax dollars as sacred. When I became mayor of Soldotna, we got property taxes three times because of the way we scrubbed the budgets, made sure we were being efficient and effective with your dollars. So I focus on a borough government that delivers key services efficiently, effectively, and at the lowest cost possible to our citizens. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you on what's important to the forward motion of this borough over the next 10, 20, 30, and more distant years.
Thank you, Mr. Machicki. Finally, in this opening round, we will hear a pre-recorded statement by candidate Robert Wall. Matt, if you will go ahead with Robert Wall, please.
This is Robert Wall, running in as a write-in candidate for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. Thank you for reaching out to me, KSRM, on short notice. I'm currently on the North Slope, working as a rig supervisor in a drilling rig. I came to Alaska in 1981 as a wellsite geologist, and I've lived on the peninsula since then. And my work experience, I've been in the oil fields. I've also owned a fish tender. I've done a lot of prospecting in the woods for minerals. And my four main jobs in the oil patch have been wellsite geologist, MWD engineer, directional driller for 20 years, and rig supervisor since around 08. I'm currently working through ASRC in a very interesting science project. I've also been on many boards and currently on four boards on the peninsula. I'm on Mayor Pierce's road board. I'm on the HDA board of nine directors. I'm on the Sterling Community Club board and the Sterling Senior Center Endowment board. We're managing the funds that they've saved there in and out of the stock market. These are all volunteer boards. My vision for the peninsula, first of all, I'll tell you that I got into the race because I studied all the candidates and just wasn't happy with any of them. They're all very nice people, but they just know so much that is not right. What I'd like to do as mayor, I would work on reclaiming our land. We actually are owed 16,000 acres that we could select. We could use that to generate income. We could use the land to become more energy secure. We can use it to become more food secure. We currently only produce 5% of our own food locally. When we got here in the early 80s, it was 50%. So we need to get back towards the 50% production up here on the peninsula. Some of my ideas would be to get a meat packing plant going, and if there's just a lot of federal and state overreach that the local mayor can stand up to. And actually, the last mayor has left us in great shape with $35 million up in our funding. And I'll continue down that same path and listen to the strong leaders in the 12 to 13 different departments at the borough building. And we have a lot of very smart, talented, dedicated professionals in all those different leadership positions at the borough. And I would go around and learn and work with them. And when people tell me we have a problem on the rig, I tell them we don't have a problem. We have an opportunity for a solution. We don't have problems. We have opportunities for solutions. So you can look me up on Facebook, Robert Wall for KPB Mayor, and that links to my website my wonderful wife has set up for me in the last few days. Thank you very much, and hope you vote for me, and I'll see you at the assembly.
Thank you, Robert Wall, write-in candidate for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor, KSRM, making special accommodations for a one-time pre-recorded visit. Joining us for the rest of the evening tonight, Mr. Dave Carey, Ms. Linda Farnsworth-Hutchings, Mr. Peter Machicki, Mr. Zach Hamilton. This is KSRM.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Good evening. Welcome back to KSRM News Mayoral Forum. It is my pleasure to be with you tonight. All of the balloted candidates are with us. Let's begin with Mrs. Farnsworth-Hutchings, please. Nearly 50% of the Kenai Peninsula Borough's revenue is from property taxes. With the recent surge in residential home values, is an adjustment of the mill rate necessary? Mrs. Farnsworth-Hutchings, you have 90 seconds, please.
Well, I don't believe there needs to be an adjustment because, as you said, we're doing very well and assessments are predicated by the state of Alaska. You have a formula that has to be used. We have developed a better drone process of going out and making sure that we're getting all of the residents out there. Sometimes, you know, people don't always tell you that they've added on to their house or whatever else. And so now that they have this, and as you said, the assessments have gone up, I don't think we need to make any changes to our property taxes.
Thank you for that. Same exact question to Mr. Hamilton. With the recent surge in residential home values, is an adjustment of the mill rate necessary?
So I believe the exact percentage is 46% of the revenue comes through property taxes, 44% through sales tax, and less than 10% comes through other sources, Fed, state, interest. I don't think that there needs to be raised mill rates. We're probably right where we need to be. But the fact of the matter is, as everything costs more and everything's worth more, we're going to have to get more lean as a borough or find more green. Something to consider.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Mr. Machicki, with nearly 50% of Kenai Peninsula Borough's revenue from property taxes and the recent surge in residential home values, is an adjustment of the mill rate necessary?
Well, I you know, the increase in home values may be a blip. It's hard for us to say over the long term. So what we have to do is evaluate what we're taking in and what we're spending to determine what that looks like. So right now, we have adequate fund balance. It's actually $41 million when it was all said and done, unless that's changed very recently. With that fund balance, where we are, we're deficit spending by about $6 million a year. That gives us probably 6 years or 5 years without having to even consider an adjustment. And in that time, if we plan adequately for the long term, we may be able to do a short-term reduction now and have a very smooth tax rate going forward that doesn't have to jump to react to every little blip that changes. The more important thing is that you're seeing a housing shortage that is bringing up the value of real estate because we're land constrained. So if the borough can work together with the communities to provide, possibly release some land once we understand the long-term needs, we may make more real estate available for more development that will soften that cost increase that happens during these blips. So I don't, if anything, there's room for a reduction right now, but we are okay for the next half decade just because of the fund balance that we have available with current spending if we can remain relatively flat.
Thank you, Mr. Machicki. Mr. Carey, with the recent surge in residential home values, is an adjustment of the mill rate necessary?
Absolutely, it's necessary. We take more and more from the people. We agree that all the prices in terms of the values are going up on houses. The borough is going to greatly increase the assessments now. We're going to get a lot more money. They have $40 million surplus, and that's just adequate? That's way too much. The government should be based on what the people can afford to pay, not what you can get from them. The idea of looking at lowering the mill rate, absolutely. When I was mayor 10 years ago, we did a 1 mil reduction from my first year to the second year, from a 5.5 down to a 4.5 mil. That was 2008 versus 2009. The government should always look for ways to reduce the mill rate. Take our hands out of people's pockets. Give them a break and be sure the government is very lean, but you bet. Reduce the mill rate now. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dave Carey. We have just a couple of minutes before we will break away for our ABC News partner, and we'll hear from them for news around the country and around the globe. So with just a couple of minutes to kill, let's ask a fun question, shall we? And we'll start with Dave Carey. Tell me what the name of the high school was that you graduated and what year?
Kenai Central High School in Alaska on the Kenai Peninsula. 1970, the year after we went to the moon.
Just like that. Dave Carey, thank you. Peter Machicki, name of the high school and the year that you graduated from it.
Fort Lauderdale High School, Go Flying Elves. 2 years later, I came up here for the summer, and that summer's lasted 40 years. But 1980 was the year I graduated.
Peter Machicki, thank you. Zach Hamilton, name of the high school and year that you graduated from it.
Silver Creek Dragons, and that was in southern Indiana, and that's where I joined the military from, and 2002.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Ms. Farnsworth Hutchings, name the high school and the year that you graduated from it.
Well, it was Kenai Central High School, the Cardinals, and it was 1967.
Were you there at the same time that David Carey was there?
No, because we were a three-year high school at that time.
Very well. Very well. People, thank you so much. We are now, this is what Matt Wilson and I are going to call Radio Phil. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. It is a timed break. Our special guests tonight, our panelists, borough mayor candidates. The borough election is on February 14th. Love, love, love your next borough mayor. You will elect that person on February 14th. The polls will open. We'll get a fact check on when polls open for that and for balloting to begin. Peter Machicki, Zach Hamilton, Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, David Carey. Those are your balloted candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. Now, looking ahead at the calendar, we're going to do this again. We're going to do it in advance of the October election for the winner of the February 14th race will only serve as mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough through October of 2023, where another, or the same maybe, another borough mayor election will be held. That will be for a full three-year term. So while Mayor Mike Navarre is our acting mayor right now, we will be electing a temporary mayor. And we will have another mayoral candidate later on in this calendar year. This is KSRM, and we are proud to bring to you tonight's mayoral forum featuring the mayoral candidates for the special election. Back right after this from ABC News.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Welcome back to KSRM's Mayoral Forum. Thank you, Mr. King, for that welcome back. Our guests tonight for this special event, candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. Jumping right back in, we're going to start with Mr. Zach Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton, we're learning more about personal exemptions for primary residences. What, if any, adjustments need to be made to the list of exemptions? And I will help with that by saying, do we need adjustments in the amount or the values? Do we need adjustments in the qualifications? Do we need any exemptions, or do we need to any more exemptions, or we need to remove some of the exemptions? Zach Hamilton, please.
Sure. So just to clarify for our listeners, as far as I understand, there are two required exemptions by the state. One of those are for, one is a senior exemption of $150,000 as far as property taxes is concerned, and then there's a native exemption as well. Those are required by the state, and then all the other exemptions are optional. And so if you were to total up the numbers borough-wide, those extensions for the fiscal year 2023 would have been, the taxes that were not collected would equal $23.8 million borough-wide. And specifically, the optional exemptions, about $10 million borough-wide. Within the general fund, that's $5.4 million for 2023. That was what was projected in the budget. Now, I don't know if we need to make adjustments. I would need to consult with the people in the know, and I would then have to make decisions about what needs to happen there. There's a lot of people involved.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Mr. Machicki, we're learning more about personal exemptions for your primary residence. What, if any, adjustments need to be made to the list of exemptions? And those adjustments could be the amount or the value, specific qualifications. Are there exemptions that need to be added, or are there exemptions that need to be removed?
Yeah, thank you for that question. It's a good question, and I appreciate Mr. Hamilton covering a lot of the material I would have covered on this. You know, there are several exemptions that people don't even think about, like the disability tax credit and other exemptions. I think most people are focused on the senior exemption, and that's the upwards of about $350,000, unless you live in certain municipalities, not mentioning any names, Duane. I am not a supporter of reducing the exemption for seniors. I think they're an extremely important part of our community. As I've said in other forums, I don't think people realize how active they are on raising families around here. They're very important to participating as volunteers. I do not believe in adjusting the senior exemption. The others, I think, are fine just the way they are. Always up to discussion, but I don't have any identified changes at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Machicki. Dave Carey, we're learning more about personal exemptions for your primary residence. What, if any, adjustments need to be made to the list of exemptions, including the amount or value, the qualifications of them, or any additional or removed from the current list? Dave Carey, please.
Seems to me that there should be some room for discussion. There's homeowners, there's senior exemption, disability veterans exemption, disabled resident exemption, volunteer firefighters exemption, farm deferments. We do that because we know these people deserve them. We know seniors have been here for so many years paying taxes when none of the rest of us were here. And now as they are older and on fixed budget, we think there should be a bit of a exemption on their primary residence. They have to be 65 or older, or a survivor 60 or older of someone who has passed. They have to be here 185 days a year. I don't support getting rid of any of these. I support our firefighters. I support the disabled. I support the disabled veteran. We need to keep what we have. We need to explain why we have them. I love our seniors. I want them to stay here and bring the money they have to this community and live here forever.
Mrs. Farnsworth Hutchings, we're learning more about personal exemptions for your primary residence. What, if any, adjustments need to be made to the list of exemptions, including the amount or value, the qualifications? Are there additional exemptions, or do we need to remove any of them?
Well, I'm pretty happy with the exemptions. And what people don't always understand is 150 is mandated by the state. Up until 1997, the state reimbursed us for those taxes. Now they do not. Then there's $50,000 that goes to every homeowner. The first mandatory 150 is disabled veterans and seniors. And then you have a second 150,000, which is mandated by the borough. That's what the assembly put in place. So you have a total of 350 for borough taxes. But I believe Kenai and Soldotna are the same, where they only honor the 150 that the state mandates. And, you know, I'm fine with it. I think that it keeps our seniors here, and they put lots of sales tax into our coffers.
Thank you, Mrs. Hutchings. There is a follow-up to this question. It came to us via our request to the news department. We're going to take the, we're going to give you an opportunity. I like to call this one the Goldilocks type of question. Your answers are just right, too high, or too low. We will take these in exact opposite order on this question. Many of you have addressed it already. Senior exemption that is on the books today. Too high, too low, or just right?
Right.
Dave Carey.
Too low.
Peter Machicki.
I hate one-word answers, but just right.
Mr. Hamilton.
As of today, just right.
Very well. Thank you for that. And thanks to the listener that sent that question in. Goldilocks, except it wasn't too hot or too cold. It's too high or too low. Let's move to sales tax, shall we? The borough sales tax. There's a lot of different sales taxes. Our comments tonight in this segment specific to the borough sales tax, not city sales tax. We all know that the borough sales tax rate is 3%. Let's start with Peter Machicki. Peter Machicki, first one. Do we relook at the 9-month exemption of non-prepared foods, yes or no?
No.
Dave Carey, do we relook at the 9-month exemption of non-prepared foods, yes or no?
The people have voted on this twice, and they've been very clear. We don't look at it unless they get to vote on it.
Mrs. Farnsworth Hutchings, do we relook at the 9-month exemption of non-prepared foods, yes or no?
No.
And finally, Mr. Hamilton, do we relook at the 9-month exemption of non-prepared foods, yes or no?
Yes.
Staying in sales tax, beginning with Mr. Carey, do we relook at the $500 max tax cap? If yes, what should it be?
I believe, again, this is an issue of consent of the governed. The people should get to decide. We should put a ballot measure. We should let the people understand what the consequences will be, how much more money it will raise. And again, if the people decide they'd like to increase the amount that they pay taxes on per unit of an item, then it should be supported. But without the people's clear input, I don't support that we keep reaching into people's pockets and we keep wanting to take more money. And that's based on the theory that government knows better than you do how to spend your money.
Mrs. Farnsworth Hutchings, relook at the $500 max tax cap. If yes, to what?
Well, I think the tax cap right now at $500 is fine. I think we still, I know I write nice big checks every quarter to the borough because most of our sales are under $200 and we do a lot of them. But the other thing is it went to the ballot and it was voted down. So let's leave it where it is.
Mr. Hamilton, on sales tax, do we relook at the $500 max tax cap? If yes, adjust to what?
These are unprecedented times. Everything should be on the table, but there should be a lot of people weighing in on this discussion, not just the mayor. The mayor is simply, in my opinion, an executor of the people's will, and you need advisors and you need experts to be able to weigh in on these decisions.
Thank you. Starting, staying in sales tax, one more briefly. Mrs. Farnsworth Hutchings, install a bed tax or other so-called tourist tax?
I say no, because you have so many outlying area Airbnbs that it would be very expensive to implement. And so what you would have is, if you had a bed tax, it'd be hitting your motels and hotels in the cities, because they would be used to paying their bills, paying their sales tax already, and you would be disenfranchising them, because these people would be going to outside entities for their stays rather than in the city. So I say no.
Mr. Hamilton, regarding sales tax, shall we install a bed tax or other so-called tourist tax?
I'd have to look at other destination places in the state and elsewhere and understand the pros and cons better. And again, everything should be on the table.
Mr. Machicki, install a bed tax or any other so-called tourist tax?
I think that's something we'll have to look at in the long term. But could I answer the last question first? Is that okay?
Relook at 500 max tax cap.
Yeah.
If yes, so, to what?
I am a student of the Tax Foundation. Each tax causes a behavior, and the behavior that raising the tax cap would cause, it would fund a round trip tank of gas to Anchorage, where people will go to shop for no sales tax at all. So that would be a dramatic impact on our moms and pops and our stores here that pay sales taxes, that fund our schools and our communities. That would be no on an increase. In fact, I campaigned against it the last couple of times it's come up. When you're competing with a community that has no sales tax, you have to think about the economics of every increase, and I think it's right at the right place. On the second question, you have to think about that impact as well. I'm willing to talk about that. Many places that I go have a bed tax.
Thank you, Peter Machicki. Final question. Let's take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll ask just general sales tax in 60 seconds from our candidates. This is KSRM.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Welcome back to KSRM. I am Dwayne Bannock. Matt Wilson is here with the time clock. And we're going to continue. I made an error in the last segment. I'm very confused. Calendars are hard for me. Hotel rooms are hard for me. Keeping track of the order. The question in the last segment was regarding sales tax, install bed tax, or other so-called tourist tax, and I omitted Dave Carey. Dave Carey, please take an answer with that.
Absolutely. Bed tax are where people from outside, in terms of companies, come in. They use our roads, our utilities, our public servants. They use all of our service. And they don't pay for it. A bed tax is a way of equalizing who's paying for services. It's absolutely right to have a bed tax, not only on the people coming in from outside that are using our things, but also those companies that are using this awesome environment to make profit for their stockholders. Bed taxes make a lot of sense. They would help the rest of the borough, and it's only just that those people using a service should be those who pay for it. Cost causers should be cost payers.
Thank you, Dave Carey. Finally, under the bracket of sales tax, 3% sales tax, beginning with Zach Hamilton, are there any other sales tax policies that we have not addressed that need adjustment?
Not that I'm aware of at this time.
Thank you. Peter Machicki, any other sales tax policies that need adjustment?
No, I'm going to use the time a little bit on the bed tax thing. I mean, just we have to, before we decide we're going to do something or not do something, we have to get people together across the borough to determine if we want to make any changes. And right now, I don't see a need for an adjustment on the 3%. A reduction in that initial borough 3% is a reduction in schools. When you say you're going to cut it by, at 1%, you're actually cutting schools by 30%. So that's not something we can afford at this time, but we should have large-scale discussions across the borough. We before we decide that a small group is going to make a change to tax policy. It's so important on how it impacts the taxpayer at home.
Thank you, Peter Michicki. Dave Carey, on any other sales tax policies that need adjustment?
No, the sales tax, again, that we have, that we've discussed so far, is good. I think we want to keep in mind, though, that the money that goes should go equally to all the different school communities. A small community should not be left out because of their location. And so when we talk about the fairness of the sales tax, we need to be sure that we have equity, that the money being given is given equally as much as possible to the whole community. There's often a collection that there are some people, if you have money, you get more money. That seems to happen a lot. However the sales tax is used, we need to be sure that service is provided to all the people throughout the borough, and especially for the more rural, those who are off the road system. They often seem to be, they get left behind, especially sometimes by the school district.
Thank you, Dave Carey. Mrs. Farnsworth Hutchings, the final question in sales tax. Any other sales tax policies that need adjustment?
Well, I don't believe there's any adjustment that needs to be made to the 3%. But I will say, and I'm going to bring this up, is the bed tax. Do you know who comes down all winter long with their families to play sports in our local high schools and at the sports center? You would be taxing kids because they have to have a place to stay. So I am, again, opposed to the bed tax, and that is the biggest reason.
Thank you. I think we're starting with Peter Michicki. Anybody think I'm not? Thank you. Everyone is nodding. Peter Michicki, moving on. Shall we expand powers to include animal control? Yes or no, and why?
So this is another issue. It's kind of been to the ballot. It wasn't supported. If there are folks that want to bring it forward, they should go to their assembly members and consider that. You should have the discussion openly. I think it should go back to the ballot. Expanding powers is scary in a borough. I think we want to stay lean and retain as much freedom as possible in the Kenai Peninsula borough. There are statewide statutes against animal cruelty that I think could be strengthened to protect animals from abusive owners. But at this time, I don't see the need. If folks disagree, I'd like to hear from them, and I'm willing to have that conversation.
Thank you. Dave Carey, expand powers to include animal control? Yes, no, and why?
Absolutely not. To expand into animal control powers, it would take tens of peoples to influence and to enforce it borough-wide. It would be a terrible idea. You start messing with people's animals, and quite frankly, I'm going to talk about the Second Amendment really quick. People aren't going to like the government coming and hassling their animals. There should not be animal control powers. If a small area wanted to form a service area, for their city maybe, to do this, they could. But no, this is a terrible, this is government overreach. This is someone sitting up in some high tower thinking about this ideal world. Leave our animals alone. We need to be sure that animals are properly fed and they're taken care of. But I don't want the government telling me how I'm to take care of my animal. I say keep your hands off our animals.
Ms. Farnsworth Hutchings, do we expand powers to include animal control? Yes, no, why?
No, and the reason is it would be very cost prohibitive. We already have our cities that have animal control, and the city of Soldotna and the city of Kenai work together for theirs. And the outlying areas, it would be just incredibly amount of money to go ahead and take care of animal control in outlying areas. So, no, definitely not.
Thank you. Mr. Hamilton, expand powers to include animal control? If yes, yes or no, and why?
Short answer is no, and the reasoning that I have, despite the fact that I know that some of our cities are overrun, the people who actually do the work and are involved probably are burnt out and looking for resources and looking for assistance. But I do believe that the borough can be a troubleshooter and a partner and a connector in solving, helping cities solve this problem for themselves, within themselves. I'm a proponent of asset-based community development, and what that main principle of asset-based community development is: the people closest to the problem have the solutions. And if cities are experiencing this problem, then they also have the solutions.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. We are coming up at our top of the hour break. And just like we were 30 minutes ago, we're not going to go into the next group of questions. We're going to do this radio fill. We will remind you that joining us in studio tonight, Dave Carey, Mrs. Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, Mr. Zach Hamilton, and joining us remotely is Peter Machicki. We did hear from one other candidate. You will not see his name on the ballot. He is a write-in candidate. KSRM did extend an invitation for him to join with us, and we afforded him an opportunity. If you were listening to us about 49 minutes ago, we heard a recorded statement from him. Again, the election will take place on Tuesday, February 14th. I was alerted during the break that we have balloting open now. Early voting is open now. If you want to participate, this is KSRM.